Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest tonight is Aaron Menikoff. Dr. Menikoff is the pastor of Mount Vernon Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. He got an MDiv and a PhD at Southern Seminary. And prior to ministry, Aaron worked in politics for the late U.S. Senator Mark Hatfield. And I know Aaron very well because I was the pastor at Mount Vernon up until late 1991. So I have had the privilege of going back there and preaching a number of times, and in fact was the interim during the time right before they called Aaron, and hopefully got to pave the way a little bit for him to come back and do expository preaching and that sort of thing, which I did, of course, when I was there. But we are delighted to have him on the broadcast. We're going to be talking about a new book that he has. It's published by Moody Press. And the title is Character Matters, Shepherding in the Fruit of the Spirit. Aaron, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Jim. And let me begin by saying how wonderful it was to come to Mount Vernon in 2008, many years, you know, after you had gone off to Tennessee.
Yes.
And to notice how loved you still are and were at that time by the congregation.
Thank you, brother.
And that's just a great thing to be a pastor who leaves, but who has a reputation that endures for decades. So
praise
I praise God for that and for your friendship.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's been a joy. I was praying for whoever was going to come, and then as I heard more about you, began to pray specifically for you and your family, met you all when you first came there. We spent time together, and you very graciously and humbly sought my input, and I freely gave it. But I am so grateful as I go back now, and you've had me back to preach a number of times.
That's
when
right.
I go back and I see what God is doing in that church, and I'm very grateful for your faithfulness to the Lord, to your wife and children, and to the Word of God. So it's a delight to have you on this broadcast.
Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for that encouragement, brother, and it's great to be with you tonight.
Now, character matters. I have noticed, and I know you have, and you talk about it a little bit in the book, that while on the one hand, the scriptural qualifications for a pastor have little to do with gifting and much to do with character and practical Christian living, the way that most churches approach finding the pastor of their choice is all about gifts, very little about character, and that has led to some very distressing debacles where people end up feeling betrayed, the cause of Christ is hurt, reputation in the community is sullied, and churches have been willing to overlook problems with a man's character as long as his gifts were good. That is obviously a recipe for disaster. It is disobedience
right.
to the Word of God. But it doesn't just afflict churches. It afflicts pastors, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, sadly, when local churches are looking for pastors, there's a couple things that they tend to assume. They tend to assume that the man they're looking at has a right understanding of the gospel. And they tend to assume that the man is living a morally upright life in private mm-hmm. and in public. And, you know, those are not things we ought to assume.
Amen.
You know, just because they're not very complicated, and don't misunderstand me, the gospel is deep and rich, and it takes a lifetime to truly and fully understand. But nonetheless, there are some, you know, men who who are preachers of the Bible who don't have a thorough and robust understanding of the gospel and aren't mm-hmm. clear about it.
Yes.
And sometimes they aren't asked about it because, let's face it, so many churches want a man who's able to keep their attention,
yep.
not bore them, give them an inspiring feeling mm-hmm. after a message,
mm-hmm.
And that's what they tend to be looking for, and it's just not healthy or helpful. And of course, you know, it can be difficult to discern a man's character. What is he like in private? If you don't know this man, if you haven't spent time with him while he's with his family,
yeah.
I mean, you know, it is a difficult thing to discern. And I think we can be honest about that.
Well, and I think it's absolutely vital that paradigm be shifted in our churches back to a more biblical view of what the priorities are. And I also think it is vital, and your book addresses this very effectively, it's vital for Christians who are in any kind of ministry, and for that matter, I mean, you on the back cover, it says, God promises to grow spiritual fruit in all who belong to Christ. So although your book, Character Matters, is especially addressing pastoral ministry and would be especially helpful, I think it'd be great for everybody out there to get a copy and give it to their pastor.
Yeah, but if you, I appreciate you saying that.
Well, I mean, it's an excellent book. But the thing is this, ultimately, this applies to all Christians. All
right.
Christians, if we really are abiding in Christ, which, by the way, is the name of this broadcast, if we're mm-hmm. abiding in Christ, God guarantees that He will produce the fruit of the Spirit in us. We will become more and more like Him in our character. We'll reflect His glory. If I could, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul's writing to an extremely dysfunctional congregation, and yet he describes them this way. He says in chapter 1, verse 7, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. And then he begins to describe all the things that are wrong in terms of how they're
right.
living. They're behaving as if they were mere men, as if they were just human. And that is not the way Christians are supposed to live.
That's right. I mean, and that raises really a couple, I think, really crucial observations. And number one is that to say that character matters is not to say that any Christian or even any Christian pastor is going to be perfect.
Right.
Not at all. Sanctification is a process. It's a laborious process, and every Christian is a work in progress. And I think I know that 1 Corinthians, as you pointed out, is a great example of that. Paul could say very good things about them mm-hmm. while at the same time pointing out their deep flaws and even patterns of sin that
yes.
they needed to repent of.
Mm-hmm.
The second observation is that though I take the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5
mm-hmm.
to neatly subdivide a book, when you read through the epistles, both the writings of Paul and the writings of Peter, one thing you notice is that there are several different lists of pieces
mm-hmm.
of the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
And we have an obligation as Christians who are to meditate on Scripture to familiarize ourselves with these character traits and be asking ourselves, where am I deficient? Where do I need to grow? And even,
mm-hmm.
you know, where do I see myself, by God's grace, doing well?
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible has given us so much wisdom, so much insight into how God gifts His people. And so when we think about spiritual gifts, I'm not sure the first thing we need to be thinking about is, do I have the gift of administration
mm-hmm.
or the gift of mercy? Although that is definitely a valuable train of thought. But these character giftings that come from the Holy Spirit, they need our attention as well.
Amen. Amen. And if love is going to be the means by which people can recognize that we belong to Him, if that's how folks are going to know that we're His disciples, then these characteristics, which, I mean, the Galatians list and 1 Corinthians 13 fit like a hand in glove.
Right, right.
It is ultimately the character of God that He brings to fruition in us as we grow.
Right.
And I'm so glad you point out it's a process. I'm also glad that in this book you honestly and humbly talk about some of your own struggles and failures and how the Lord has had to correct you and used the body of Christ to correct you, and how you've recognized areas where you've fallen short. And you're not just saying, but that's the way I am. You know, that's just my personality. Rather,
right.
there's been repentance, and you're not posing and pretending that everything's perfect in your life. You're talking about this journey you're on to become like Christ.
Yeah, I think for any Christian reader, but I thought for pastors it was so important for them to actually have tangible examples
mm-hmm.
of another brother's struggles.
Yeah.
To put some flesh to the challenges that we all face. I think every Christian is tempted to present a better version of him or herself than actually exists. How much more the Christian leader,
yes,
who lives under the expectation, and frankly, rightly so, that he is to be an exemplar of Christian morality.
Yes.
And the devil will use that expectation to cause a man, in the case of a pastor, to cause a man to hide his own sin patterns. And he's going to tempt every Christian to try to hide
mm-hmm.
His or her own sin patterns as well. And so I wanted the readers to see that in the context of a local church, in the context of Christian community,
mm-hmm.
it's possible to reflect upon your own soul without falling down the rabbit hole of sort of narcissism or,
mm-hmm.
you know, overly navel-gazing,
yes.
you know, as some might say. It's possible to pay attention to your life without falling into that trap.
Amen. Amen. And especially as you walk in community. I mean, you
right.
shared about a fellow who you wanted to see as an elder who'd been on staff, and he said, you know, I'm not sure I really want to be on the elder board with you.
And, yeah.
And that hurt. I mean, that was
right.
that was a hard, you were very surprised by that input from him. But instead
And I wasn't just surprised. I wasn't just surprised by the fact that he was so honest with me.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised by the criticism he leveled.
Yeah.
In other words, if you had asked me, this was a number of years ago, you know, when this happened.
Yeah.
But if you had asked me to sit down and say, hey, you know, Aaron, tell me where you struggle. I don't know. I would have said maybe pride, you know, lust,
mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, lazy at times. I would not have said I struggle with gentleness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what really hit me over the side of the head. Like, how could a brother whom I deeply love, who
mm-hmm.
I'm close to,
mm-hmm.
say this about me and me perceive that I had no idea?
Right.
And it just shows, you know, our hearts are, you know, even though we're born again
yes.
and new creatures in Christ, there's still indwelling sin that's going to try to hide ourselves from who we really are from ourselves.
Yes. And because this fellow was honest with you, you had an opportunity to either shut him down and say, that's ridiculous, you don't know what you're talking about, there's something wrong with you that you would perceive me that way, or
right.
to open yourself up to the work of the Holy Spirit. And God used it. I mean, you sought input, further input from him and some other elders to really dig into this. And God has used that to make you more like Jesus.
Amen. Yeah, it really is a community project. So this isn't the book. I don't want the book simply to be about how can I individually grow as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope through all the examples throughout the book, we recognize that we really are to grow in the context of people who are going to love us and who are going to be honest with us. I think about Hebrews 3:12-13, exhort one another every day as long as it is called today,
yes.
so that your heart will not be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin.
Yeah.
And So the answer to a heart not being hardened is brothers and sisters who are willing to exhort or encourage us. And it's a simple truth, but, you know, the human heart, again, with indwelling sin, is going to try to isolate itself and not open itself up to criticism, even if that criticism is the very means that God is going to use to sanctify us.
Amen. And at one point, and you're talking about being thankful for failure, you'd experienced a disappointment regarding having a book published, and you said, God pressed into my soul what every Christian ought to know. In his divine economy, the metrics of success aren't the number of followers, likes, retweets, or mentions you get on social media. It's not the number of letters behind your name, books on your shelf, or how fast you can run a mile. At my age, not very fast at all. Christians, above all others, ought to understand this. Our value isn't found in what we do, but in the perfect love of a Savior condemned in our place. That's why success is never listed as a piece of the fruit of the Spirit, but faithfulness is. You know, beautiful, beautiful communication of vital truth that many of us can intellectually embrace, but viscerally have a hard time working out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's easy to, it's possible to pat yourself on the back because you haven't fallen into some sort of public, obviously disqualifying from ministry kind of sin.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that all sins are equal. I mean, I understand that there are sins that are more scandalous.
Yes.
And we need to be especially careful of avoiding. But I think my quiet fear is that those pastors and Christians who found a certain amount of victory in certain areas of their life can grow cold to these other areas that just because they're not all important doesn't mean they're unimportant.
Amen.
And, you know, so whether it's compassion or kindness, unity is described by Peter as a piece of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, you may be morally pure in terms of sexual purity and, like, praise God for that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other aspects of the Spirit working in our life that we need to attend to. And I do wonder how many brothers who have fallen into obviously ministry disqualifying patterns of sin, I wonder how many of those brothers, if they had attended to other, less public sin patterns in their lives, might never have eventually imbibed so deeply in those disqualifying sins.
Yes. C.S. Lewis in Screwtape Letters talks about the surest road to hell being the gradual slope. Because, if you step off a cliff, you realize you're in trouble. But if you're just slowly finding, this is a pretty easy walk here, and you're just gradually going down, 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 and there's no warning sign along the way. That's how a lot of people get in trouble. And you're exactly right. If other things, the seemingly smaller things, had been dealt with biblically along the way, some individuals might never have fallen into the grotesque and, as you said, ministry disqualifying sins that some do fall into.
And it's so interesting that if you look at that list in Galatians 5:22, again, that I focus on in the book, I think we need to be careful not to make too much of the order, but I don't think we need to ignore the fact that the Lord ordered it the way he did. It starts with love, as if to say that, you know, our God, who is himself love, fundamentally expects us to be living embodiments of his character. So it starts with love. Now, the last piece of fruit that he mentions is self-control.
Yes.
And a lack of self-control is going to lead to, again, you called it grotesque sin or disqualifying sin. That's a huge problem. It seems like self-control is what's necessary to practice and grow in all of the pieces of the fruit of the Spirit that are in between. So you need self-control to pursue Christ in such a way that you're bearing joy. You need self-control to be able to endure hardships in such a way that you demonstrate, you know, peace. You need self-control so that when a brother or sister, you know, gets angry with you and upset with you mm-hmm. and makes you want to lose your patience, well, you don't lose your patience.
Yeah.
And so if you really want to fight those big sins in your life, man, don't neglect the daily practice of applying self-control, not merely to defeating pornography
mm-hmm.
or perhaps a fit of rage, mm-hmm. depending on what you're prone to,
mm-hmm.
but even those smaller, quieter, less notable virtues like, you know, joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Those are just as required for godliness as is sexual purity.
Amen. You write in the book, you aren't going to accidentally exercise self-control. I think that's a great line. You have to prepare for it. You have to plead for it. The only way forward is to identify where you need help, ask for the Spirit's guidance, and then fight tooth and nail to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. And again, this is especially vital and helpful instruction for pastors, but in fact, this is true for all followers of Jesus. And it is, and I'm so grateful that you make this clear, it's a process, it's a journey, it's something over time. The Apostle Paul says, I haven't already, achieved this or obtained this, but I'm pressing on toward the goal to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. And again, Aaron, I appreciate so much the way in which you present this and the integrity with which you present this. You get specific. You talk about the journey in your own life, and that in itself, the ability to do that, is a mark of progress and maturity that God is working in you.
Yeah, well, when you care, and I care a lot about what others think, and we do need to care about our reputations, and
mm-hmm.
we don't want to be unwise in how we speak about our own personal struggles. But I take comfort in the fact that it seems as if the authors of Scripture were honest about themselves in appropriate ways with
Amen.
Their audience. And so I do think I know that there's room for that. And I like the fact that you cited Paul, who said that we're to press on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just that sanctification is gradual. It's that it really is hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're so tempted to think if I buy the right book or I figure out the right, you know, personal devotion plan, all of a sudden it's going to be easy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. It might get easier in certain aspects, but
mm-hmm.
there's always work to it. Even this morning, you know, I got up for my devotional and I had a good time in the Word and took a few notes and just a really sweet time reading the Bible. And then it came time to pray. And just this morning I was thinking, I'm kind of tired. This is going to take some effort to really pray. And I was just reminded, you know, where in the Bible am I told that even praying is always going to be easy?
Right.
Some days it's going to just be joyfully, joyously easy.
Mm-hmm.
But some days it's going to be labor. It's going to take self-control
mm-hmm.
to keep you off your smartphone and on your knees.
Amen. Well, brother, thank you so much for coming on the broadcast. Thank you for your life and your ministry. As you know, I pray for you and your family faithfully, and I'm so grateful that your whole family displays the glory of the Lord in a beautiful way. And the book, folks, is Character Matters by Aaron Menikoff, and it's published by Moody Publishers. I hope that you will prayerfully consider getting a copy and enjoying it as I am.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. It's an honor and always an encouragement to talk to you, brother.
Thank you, brother. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.